نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. Much of our lives are shaped and designed with the information and the news that we hear. Someone passes some information, we read up some news, we see something, and then our lives are shaped accordingly. We hear what we see and what people discuss. This eventually becomes the point where our lives are shaped. So when news is such an important thing, then it can't be unsupervised. It must be supervised, because this is shaping the mind, and the mind controls the body. The mind says that we need to eat out. The whole body is activated. The hand reaches for the key, then the feet takes you towards the car, and then in a few moments your eyes are showing you that this is where you turn, and there you by steers. But what instructed you? The mind instructed you. And when the mind instructed, the entire body was activated. So the importance of giving the mind the right shape. If the shape is right, then the activity will be right. And if the shape is not right, the activity won't be right. Islam emphasizes a lot on the cleanliness of the heart. Heart must be sound. Illa man atallaha qalbin saleem. The person that is a winner on the day of Qiyamah, man atallaha bi qalbin saleem. So the heart must be clean and sound. But now, when we talk about the heart being clean and sound, we don't speak about it clinically. Because clinically, if you take that heart to Dr. Vanker, they say it's a very beautiful heart, clean, beautiful, sound heart. But it may be the heart of a kafir. It may be the heart of a mushrik. But clinically, it's clean, good, sound, everything is. So when we talk of a clean heart, we talk of a clean heart spiritually. But then spiritually doesn't mean just cleaning the heart, no. Giving it a certain shape. Heart, and giving the heart a certain shape. Because the heart may be hard, the heart may be clean. See, like people that do yogism, they go through a spiritual exercise. Now when they go through that spiritual exercise, they may claim that the hearts are clean. But the cleanliness with a certain shape. So you can be sitting here, right? And you washed yourself nicely. But hair is totally disheveled. Beard, one strand is going to the west, other one going to the east, right? You're wearing a kurta upside down. Trousers over your head, right? So the clothing are clean, but it needs a certain shape, right? مَنْ أَتَلَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ refers to two things: with the cleanliness of the heart, give it the right shape. And the right shape will come if it is in conformity with the sunnah. If there is no conformity with the sunnah, what are you going to do with a clean heart? Just for a clean heart, but he's a Hindu, he's a kafir, he's a mushrik, he's a yogi, so what are you going to do with that heart? So that the heart will be shaped right, if there is the conformity with the sunnah. If there is no conformity with the sunnah, then the heart is useless. Absolutely useless. So we're talking of giving the heart the right shape. And when we're talking to people like us, then we generally relate to the mind. Right? The same mind, the Quran speaks about it as the heart. We speak about it as the mind. And the Quran speaks about it as the heart. But for what we use it, really, that refers to the heart in the language of the Quran. In the literature of the Quran Sharif, the same thing that we say mind is called the heart. So, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. And then, the thing that shapes the heart is the information, the news that you keep listening to. And generally the tendency is we feel, well, what's wrong if I listen to the news? What's wrong? BBC or CNI or whatever, right? I listen to all this thing. What's there? Can't have that attitude. Because the mind is more sensitive than the stomach, right? Stomach is sensitive, but much more sensitive than the mind, much more sensitive than the stomach is the mind. If you put some toxin into the stomach, in 1 second the person can die. If it's given the right amount and the right strength, perhaps in 2-3 seconds the man can be finished. Gone. Can't it happen? So the whole body was malfunctioned because of the wrong content. Like there was a malfunction, bodily, physically, there can be a malfunction mentally. Whole thing is collapsed. Iman has collapsed, your love for Allah has collapsed, everything has collapsed. Why? It was a malfunction. Why was there a malfunction? Because the content wasn't right. What you took to the mind wasn't right. You felt, no, I got the strength, I got the stamina, so what's wrong in me taking the news? Not realizing that news and that information, the media and the literature was not meant for you. So what's wrong if I take it? I'm an intelligent person, I'm a clever person, so what's wrong if I take that? But now that 1 second, it can cause an entire disaster. And it can cause a disaster for you, 1 second. Like I said, in the physical sense, one moment can be a disastrous moment. So similarly, the mind also can be a disaster in just a single second. So we cannot say, what will this do? What can this do? And what will this do? Because it seems innocent. You can't see the spiritual poisonous effect, you can't see it. You can't see it, you can't perceive it, you can't feel the thing, so you feel nothing. That which is physical, you can see it, you can perceive it, you can understand it, right? So you relate to it. But that which is spiritual, because you can't perceive, you can't feel, you can't touch that thing, you feel, well, it's alright if I listen to it. But that may be the cause of the entire failure. 1 second, gone. Now, in a real sense of the word, right? You are sitting here, right? You're sitting here pretty well, comfortable, happy. And in one moment someone says, you know what, the news has come that your mother was coming and she met up in an accident and she's fatal. I ask you, will you be calm now? Or you just changed. In 1 second you just changed. It may be a rumor. It may be an exaggeration, right? But when you heard that news, what did it do to you? Your whole system went off. Whole system went off. About 4 years ago, one person was admitted in hospital, right? He was semi-paralyzed or whatever, all the tubes are connected to him. And when the tubes are connected to him now, they asked the guest, the family, not to come and visit him because he seems to be a little bit critical. So in all that, his wife became restless and she went to visit him. She just saw him with all the tubes. She collapsed and died straight. See what you see and how it can affect you. So we cannot say that we are immune to this thing here. Now we feel in this day we are immune, I'm strong, I'm intelligent, I can read things, I can read between the lines, nobody must come and correct me. We think like that. But we don't know that our minds are going reverse. Now the person that knows about this type of spiritual things, from that one sitting, he can make you out, he can size you up. When you are speaking, when you are discussing, the order of the mind, he can make it out. The level of your spirituality can make it out. He may not tell you directly, but he can make it out that why this person is critical, he is not right. And our situation is such, مِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. فإن أصابه خير اطمأن به وإن أصابته فتنة انقلب على وجهه. Yeah, on the edge. If they get prosperity, wealth, then they're very good Muslims. Practicing, everything, Allah Pak is very good. But the moment they come through a challenge, financial, some type of a problem now, things are becoming tight. Now, that whole demeanor of this just changes. Everything changes. He's not the same person, you can't talk to him, he's gone into a depression. So the whole demeanor of that person just changes on that one information. Sorry. Business is bad. See that? So our connection with Allah Ta'ala is a connection of, you say, agharaz, what? You are an agenda, what? I don't say in English, what is it? Convenience, yeah. You are a convenience. It's not a relationship of love. It's a relationship of convenience. Allah Ta'ala, you see me right, I'll see you right. But the moment things didn't work out, Allah Ta'ala, once things come right, then I'll see you again. So that's the relationship you are with Allah Ta'ala. So then you go through that type of patches. Right. So anyway, we're talking of information and news, and we feel to ourselves that there's no need for Islam to come and supervise us with regards to news. We got a free chart. Read anything, see anything, watch anything, talk about anything, and it won't affect us. Now this is how we feel. So Allah Pak speaks about it. إِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ. When any news reaches them, news related to peace or fear, they go and publicize it. Allah Pak is talking about the kafirs. When any news comes, then what they do, what's their response? They go and publicize it. So Allah Pak as though is... He is reprimanding us, but this is not the way that you handle news. It's not the way to disseminate news. You don't just go and publicize things. First of all, you don't read it, don't listen to it. And if you have read it or you have heard it, then you don't publicize it. Because there can be problems all around. Say, for example, you get to know that what you were speaking about, what you heard, was false, right? I ask you, how many people have got the heart to go and make an open declaration of a retraction? I retract openly that what I was speaking about was wrong, was baseless. How many of us got that heart? I say not even 0.25%. Because we feel now it's against our integrity or against our reputation. What do people say? That, Barohani mother. He's not a reliable person. He's not an authentic source. That's what people will say. So somehow or the other, you have to convince people now that know that information was right. Or I didn't slip up, it was someone else that slipped up. So when we don't have the heart to openly retract, declaration of a retraction, then don't go into this. And don't you become the media culture. See, the media culture is a different thing. The media in the present day is a business, right? And being a business, what they do? What they'll do? They will look at two points. They will look at the clientele and they will look at the bosses. They will look at the clientele and they will look at the bosses, right? They're getting a lot of attraction from the clientele. The bosses are seeing them, right? And they shape the news accordingly. What they worried about, truth and falsehood? They are worried about the clientele. The clientele, as it grows, the business grows. The bosses are happy with us. We get a promotion. This is how they look at it. Whether it's an editor, whether it's a journalist, whoever it is, but this is how he's looking at news. He's not looking at it as, I must verify the information, ascertain the information, give it exactly as it were. They're not looking at that. They're looking at it as a business. And they have to tailor this, the news as how you want it. And we will feel so gullible. No, I know what's the news like. I'm in the know. You feel proud about yourself. About what? About nonsense. You know about Japan? There's a fight in Japan. Or in China there's a fight within your mind. There's a nafs and shaitan are fighting there. The nafs and the root. The good and the evil powers within you are fighting. The good is saying, don't watch this. And the evil is saying, watch it. The good within you is saying, read your namaz within time. But the evil is saying, no, don't read. The good within you is saying, don't listen to this gossip. The good is saying, don't listen to this gossip. Don't listen to this ghibat. Don't listen to this news. Bad is, I must know about it, man. I must know my family history. What happened in the past? The bad is telling me. And I ask you, how are you going to verify that that information that reached you was absolutely authentic? Because I will relate to you as I had heard it, right? And I must have heard it from a person that was partial. It was not impartial. Right? I heard it from him. And I'm relating this news here. And that news may be absolutely fabricated, made up news. And I'm saying it, the way I'm looking at it is like a true, like a people that are making up history, you think they're absolutely 100%. They're not 100%. If it's an Afrikaner government, they talk about some De Beer and that Dick King. He went to Cape Town in 10 days, whatever, right? So they talk about him. But how do we verify that Mr. Dickey was the right person? Or they had to fabricate the personality to bring the Afrikaner nation to the skies? How do you know that? But they had to show something. So some story or the other had to be fabricated, right? Up till now, they didn't talk about Shaka. Now Shaka's grave. We went to Shipshin, I've seen. I'm going to what you call Stanger, Shaka's grave. But isme kya rakha hua hai? Mitti ke alawa kya hai isme? See, they make news out of nothing, absolutely nothing, and you make news. You say, no, I went to this monument, I mean Shaka's grave. Bhai, isme kya khair hai? Kitna sawab mila aapko? What sawab you got out of it? What you learned out of it? So you see how fabricated it is, how dangerous it is. You heard a story about your grandfather, great-father, this person hit him down, right? It may be a fabrication. It may be absolutely false. No, yeah, but that's why he's going to so much of problems. Why? He hit my grandfather down. That's why he's... See that? I ask you, aren't we guilty of this thing? So, that's why they say, thoughtless repetition. Repetition of thoughtless gossip. It's very dangerous. Right? A repetition of thoughtless gossip can be very dangerous. And it must be stopped, must be restrained. Repetition, I keep talking about it, I'll talk about it for my grandfather, I'll pass it on to my grandchildren. But I don't realize that it's a repetition of thoughtless gossip. Why am I like this? Because this person hit my father down, therefore I'm like this. So you have to shift the blame onto someone. My father was an innocent person, he was like a farishta. He's too good. Yeah, that grandfather, he hit us down. So all the blame now shifted on one person. It's like that kafir mentality of the past, right? Hindu mentality of the past, what they would do, they will look for a black sheep in the family. 10 children, so they look for a black sheep. So now that person is like the most bichara, he's not wise, nothing. So anything, any misfortune, he is the problem, man. He is the problem. There's a robbery, he's the problem. There was some accident, he's the problem, right? This person failed in school, this is a problem. So the whole thing, they got one person to go and dump everything, as though he's the dump yard now. Dump everything onto him. He becomes the most hated person, disliked person. So you see, that's the mentality. Now this is the miracle of the media. They make you believe. The unbelievable, they make you believe. And then after some time, you begin to think like that, you begin to reason like that. So that's why I say, a repetition of thoughtless gossip can be very dangerous. It must be restrained, must be stopped. If it is absolutely false, say you didn't verify information, absolutely false, no basis for it, then you are sending an aerial, sending a wave of anxiety. People get excited. What happened now? What happened here? I was a good friend of his. But I heard, you know, his father, he hit my father down. Now suddenly my whole attitude changed towards him. See how weak the mind is. I didn't verify. I didn't see that thing properly. I don't have the facts before me. But someone must come and give this type of information. And my whole attitude with the person just changes. Absolutely gone down. See how we work. So if it is absolutely false, really we are sending a wave, a signal of anxiety. worry, anxiety, panic, dislike, hatred, all these things is happening. A good example is, now you hear today in this day, you hear of a bomb, right? And now, what is your immediate take? What do you think? Who's responsible? See? Muslim is important. Don't you say that? But that's a miracle of the media. So the amount of filth, the venom that they spewed out, right? After a period of time, that venom, that filth that they spewed out, you begin to feel that that's a fact. And my understanding is 99.9% of the time, a Muslim is not involved. Someone else is involved. But that Muslim is the target. You see, the same, that non-Muslim mentality, that dump all the blame, everything on one person. So, anything happens, this is the person. Anything happens, this is the person. Eventually, they begin to see any crime, the criminal is a Muslim. See a kurta person, a beard person, now understand to be a criminal, is a chore, is a robber, he put you down. That's how you must view a Muslim. See. But that's a campaign. It's a campaign. Why it's a campaign? Because the number of Islam is just growing. وَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَنَّا نَأَتِ الْأَرْضَ نَنْقُسُهَا مِنْ أَطْرَافِهَا. Don't you see that we are decreasing it from all sides? نَنْقُسُهَا مِنْ أَطْرَافِهَا. More and more Islam is going to spread, then the threshold is going to be weakening, it's going to be decreasing. Now they can't see this happening. So now how to fight? One is to fight with arms, right? One is to fight with the virus, and one is to fight with the media. So the fight is now with the media. And we become the slaves of the media. So we didn't become slaves of something else, of Allah Ta'ala. We took the slavery of this thing here. See the filth. We became their slaves. We think like how they think, how the media or how the secular institutes want us to think. We begin to think like them, and we think we're doing a great, marvelous piece of work we do. Nonsense, what you're doing. So if that thing is false, we're sending a wave of panic. A wave of anxiety, worry. We are splitting people up, breaking them down. Dislike. Within our hearts, we've got deep-rooted malice. I asked you on the day of Qiyamah, if Allah Pak summoned you, hey, you had this type of an opinion of this brother of yours. Where's your evidence? Where's your proof? So now I just heard it from someone. Hey, where was the proof? Why did you entertain that type of a doubt against your brother? Now the question is then, what is the etiquette pertaining to news? What is the etiquette? If it's bad news. So the Quran says, what about 3-4 verses about that? لَوْلَا جَاءُوا عَلَيْهِ بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءَ فَإِذْ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِالشُهَدَاءِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ. That you bring the required amount of proof. In one situation you need 4 people. Some situation you need 2 people. But you bring the required amount of proof to prove and to stand by this claim of yours. You made the claim that he's a chorwan, he's a robber, he's a murderer, right? Then you bring the required amount of evidence to prove this, to testify this, to confirm this fact. And Allah Pak says thereafter, فَإِذْ لَمْ يَعْتُوا بِالشُّهَدَاءِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ. If they cannot support this claim of this, then in the law of Allah Ta'ala, فَأُولَٰئِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ means according to the law of Allah Ta'ala, then they are liars. It may be the truth. It may be the truth what you're talking about. But you cannot support the claim with the required evidence. So in the law of Allah Ta'ala, you're a liar. See that? Now, if you appear on the day of Qiyamah, Allah says, Ya ayyuhal kazib. Oh, liar coming. And you must remember, on the day of Qiyamah, is you there, your great-grandfather is there, your great-grandchildren are there, your sister-in-law, daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, everybody is there. Father, grandfather, nani, nana, dada, everybody is there. And then in that whole assembly, you've been called, liar, come here. How's it? Looks nice. See information. What a disaster. And we think, no, I'm kamal kar rahe. Iski baat kar rahe, uski baat kar rahe. Everybody is bad. I am the only champion. In the old days, it was, everybody is good. There's some wrong in me. Some wrong in me. Every other person is good. Now this thing will be working in reverse. One youngster came yesterday. She said, the whole world is working in reverse. She says, I'm living in this town in Johannesburg. So the schools are now pushing this, that you must teach the child that when he's at the age of 16, he's got the choice, he's got a gender choice. What? He's got a gender choice. When he's at the age of 16, then he's got a gender choice. He wants to be a male or a female, what he wants to be. They say, mustn't say he. What it wants to be? What? He's telling me, what it wants to be? It wants to be he or a... He's asking me now, it's happening in the schools, the universities, it's happening. Now, what must I do? I told him, see, the whole world is working in reverse. What? If they work in reverse, then you can't join them. See now, you got a number two pipe, right? You got a pipe for going outside, and you got a pipe for going inside, right? Through some operation or that, you can change it, reverse the whole thing, and number two pipe you can bring it to your mouth, right? But what do you say? You say, is that the right thing? Do you want that operation? So this is the world that they're going through. They're reversing the whole thing. What's supposed to be number two, let it be number two. What's supposed to be clean and pure, let it remain pure and clean. Now, they want to make us all eat number two and spew out number two from the mouth, and they must say, now this is clinical, absolutely 100%. See, the whole world is going reverse. Whole world. Hazrat Rahmatullah once mentioned, the way things are going in reverse, okay, if a man wants to live a healthy life, beta ban karke rahe. What? Baap beta ban karke rahe. The father must be like the son. Aur khawin biwi ki tarah se rahe. And the husband must live like the wife. The ustad must live like the student. Must behave like though he's a student. So in the class he must say, yes, Mr. Kumalo, what do you have to say about this? But he can't smash him down. He must talk to him like, Mr. Kumalo, and what do you have to say about this? One student was here yesterday. So he says, you know, I'm so worried about my brother. He's past the grade 6, you know. But he can't read. He can't even read one alphabet. So I asked him, but then how they pushed him to the grades? So, no, that's a law then. That if you can't make it, you can't keep it too long. Let's push him up, move him. Even if he's matric, can't identify one alphabet. But he's already grade 6, grade 7 already. So the world is going in reverse. When it's going in reverse, you can't follow the world. So, one person came as a mehman, you know. See, I'm showing you that the world is going in reverse. Now it's a time that each person must look after himself. One person came as a mehman, as a guest. So he stayed the 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, whatever. Overstayed. Maximum he's supposed to stay 3 days. Now he stayed for 1 week. After 1 week, he says to the host, you know, you must be thankful. So he got the host off guard, you know. Hey, it's reverse now. He's talking in reverse. He must be appreciative, but he's telling me that I must be appreciative. Never mind. As a respect now, I can't say, you know, you're talking reverse. I can't tell him you're talking nonsense. So for a moment he thought, said, yeah, no, I must be thankful to you because you gave me the opportunity of making khidmat so I'll get sawab. So in order for something else, you need to be thankful. And you need to be grateful. He thought for a moment again, yeah, alhamdulillah, you know, my home was the home of a Muslim, so I feel so happy about it. He said, no, for something else also you need to be thankful. Now he's lost now. Sawab he thought about giving a roof and food. He thought about that and all his answers were all depleted. So now the guest says, you know, you must be thankful. I could have burnt your house, but I didn't burn your house. See now, see how they're working in reverse. So this whole world is working in reverse. Whole world is working in reverse. And you have to, in all this reverse, you have to see now, how do I go? How do I move on? Are we also just listening to the news, media, secularism, and then just moving with them? Or are we thinking independently, what is the right, what is the wrong? Are we thinking in that? Now, we think that the media, secularism, doesn't have to be supervised, already been scanned out in absolute truth. What they're showing out is absolute truth. And we don't know, 90% could be all wrong, could be false. But it's so difficult to go and research the whole thing. It's so difficult. So what's the news? What's the need for going to research it? So I say, you're talking about Japan or whatever else, whoever is fighting there. But I ask you, the fight that's taking place within yourself, the nafs is fighting with the ruh. The ruh is saying, do good thing, read Quran Sharif. Come a little bit earlier to the masjid. And I say, no, I can park outside. Ruh is saying, sit a little bit long in the masjid, finish your door, 2 sipar you can read, and then you can leave. So now I'll miss the bride. See, there's a fight that's going on all the time in your mind. The ruh is saying, don't talk about evil, don't talk about people, talk about Allah Ta'ala, make his zikr. The nafs is saying, no, if you don't talk about people, there's no spice in life, there's no excitement. Just talk about someone, bash him down, his reputation, respect, just smash it down, then you'll escalate. See, this fight that's going on within your mind, that you're not correcting. But his fight, you're talking about. But that's exactly the media mentality. Media will talk to you about Japan, about Spain, about Italy. But what's happening in your backyard, what's the theft like, what's the robbery like, they don't speak about it. What you need to do here, nobody will speak about it. But what's happening in the other countries, thousands of miles away, that's what they'll speak about. But what about your own mind? You need to think about bringing peace into your own mind. Do you think like that? See, it's media mentality. So I was explaining now that if it is false, you are sending an alarm of panic, anxiety, worry. You are breaking up families, breaking up people, one from the other, based on false information. Or at least you can see that information cannot be verified. And I say verified means in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, you can stand and say, Allah Pak, you know, this person has done this wrong. If you can't, you're not in the position, just remain silent. Just close that chapter. Don't talk about it. Yes, you want to verify it, have the right sources to verify, and then you bring that information out. But you don't have the right channels to verify. You are this one saying someone, one auntie saying that, one granny saying something, and you are taking the thing. Ask you, in the court of Allah Ta'ala, can you stand with that information? Now Allah Pak is saying, what is the adab, what is the etiquette about information? I told you one etiquette. Second one, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. When you hear this type of wrong information, Muslims must have high regards of their brothers. What? See what Allah Pak is saying? What do you think of believe all this trash? And what Allah Pak is saying, you have a high opinion about your brother. Imagine if you are present by Allah Ta'ala and Allah Pak asked you that you had a high regard of your brother, will he hold you sinful? But you had an ill opinion about your brother, ill regards. Now will he hold you responsible? But you had that type of a suspicion, an ill opinion, wrong opinions about your brother. Where's the proof? Do you have any answer for that? Are you guilty of a crime? Whether that person is guilty or not, but are you guilty? You are immediately guilty. So that's the second adab. ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. You have a high regard of your brother. I ask you, how nice won't you feel? I feel good for everybody. I feel nice about it. He may be a chore, he may be a rob, whatever. I didn't see it happening. When I haven't seen it happening, I feel good about the person. Yes, the Quran Sharif tells us that we take our precautions. We take our necessary precautions and we carry on with life. Why we take precautions? Because Allah Ta'ala wants us, خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. إِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّنْ فَكْتُبُوا. When you are entering into a transaction, about something that is in credit, right? Then reduce it to writing. Although it will seem as though you don't trust the person, but this is the Quranic injunction. When it's a credit transaction, then reduce it to writing, appoint witnesses to it. So you're conforming with the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the second adab. The third adab is, say, Subhanaka hadha buhtanun azim. What? Subhanaka hadha, glory be to Allah Ta'ala. In other words, Allah Ta'ala is faultless. There's no fault, there's no liberty in Allah Ta'ala. And this is an open allegation, false allegation. So the three responses the Quran Sharif is teaching us, and we won't go by the Quran, but what the media says, what the news says, what the auntie says, what the uncle says, will be very good. So what happened to the Quran then? We left it. We left the word of Allah Ta'ala, left the word of Rasulullah SAW. I ask you, is there any sanctuary after that? So your mind must be in a turmoil. There must be turbulence in your mind. You can't be a straight person. You can't think. You can't reason well. And I say, the one that knows spirituality, he'll understand it. This man is in a turbulent. He doesn't realize. That makes it even more complicated when you are in a turbulent and you regard yourself to be going smoothly. You're going in turbulence, you're in dangerous waters. What do you think now? I'm going smooth? See that? It's so compounded, it's so complicated. In spite of the wrong, you still think that you are on the right. So, and if it is the truth, for example, the news what you got is the truth. You spoke about the news, right? Now, one is, it's possible that the news was false. The other is, it's possible that it is the truth, right? Even if it's a truth, true news, true information, and we're disseminating this news, right? Now, what happens to people? Even a strong, intelligent person also gets shaken up. Doesn't it happen? A strong person, intelligent person, but some news that is panicking, frightening news, doesn't it shake him up? You know, one person from India was here. Nice person, very nice, respectable, good person. So he tells me one day, you know how my mother passed away. I can't forget that agony, and the grief. Stop leaving me. Pain that it's caused me, I can't forget it. He says that I wanted to give my mother a surprise. So I reached India. I came right to the doorstep. And from the doorstep, I phoned my mother. I'm here. Mother got a heart attack. She couldn't take it. She bled through the nose. In half an hour's time, she was gone. Right? Takdir had it. But he was like the cause. He created the situation. Now, you must understand that a man has got a tolerance level. He's got a level to tolerate. Beyond that, he can't manage it. Right? When he can't manage it, talk to him accordingly. You need to break and use and gradually. Man didn't have iftar. It's a 17-hour roza, 17, 18-hour roza. He didn't have iftar. At that last hour, you come and tell him, you know, your brother died. Can he eat now? He had a 17-hour roza. He's tired for the day. Can he sleep that day? Can't sleep. You know it, that the janaza namaz is tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. So let him sleep, let him eat. Tomorrow after Sehri, after Fajr namaz or something, you can break the news to him, because he'll still get the janaza namaz. But now, you say, no, as a clever thing, I must pass that news to the person. As though you must feel that person is like a stone, he doesn't get affected with news. You see this? Senseless, desensitized. We are desensitized. We don't think now, what type of effect it will have on that person. Al-Mawd Thami Sahib explains this thing in the Kitab, Basizir, all that. But we don't have the time for that. Einstein's Kitab was read it. Kafir, brainless person, stupid man, you make him the most intelligent person. Right? His Kitab must follow. But what Al-Mawd Thami Sahib Rahmatullah said, our Buzugan has said, no, that Kitab, we read that thing now. It's all old stories there. He is telling you how to tailor your life. He says when you have to pass on information, you can see the man is a little bit weak, mentally or physically, or he's got a cardiac problem. Then you break the news, but gradually. How you break the news? We hear your brother is not feeling well, huh? All right. Allah Ta'ala give him a recovery. Then after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but I think you took him to hospital, you know, you're preparing him. So you're talking about the brother, and you're preparing him mentally. You know, they took him to hospital. But it's in Allah's hand. Allah wants he can be recovered. You know he died, right? He can recover instantly. But it's in Allah's hand now. Life and death is in the hands of Allah. Then after about half an hour, slowly his condition is critical now. And the doctor says the next 48 hours is very critical. Then you broke the news to him. Now you prepared him to take that news. See how busy you are saying. What is Einstein's stupid bill, right? What you learn from that? Anything that will benefit your dunya, anything that will benefit your akhirat, anything, absolute nothing, trash, nonsense. It doesn't benefit your dunya, it doesn't benefit your akhirat, but no, you must talk about him to show how intelligent you are, and you can split an atom. But the basic things, how to run a life, how to talk to people, how to work, how to socialize, we didn't learn these things here, because we feel that our buzugan adeen, our elders, are very backwards. They don't know what's going on. See where we're coming from. So now, then what do we do with that news? How do we break the news? So Allah Pak shows us now that when there is news, how do we handle that news? وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَىٰ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِتُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. Then the first step is, refer the news to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What news? Who do you refer it to? Hazrat Rasul-e-Pak in his Mubarak life, you will refer it to him. And if he's gone from here then to his teaching. It's either Rasul-e-Pak in person, or the teaching that he's left with us, we refer it to his teaching, that I got this news here, how do I disseminate, what do I do with this news? See that. Umar radiallahu anhu, he heard that Rasul-e-Pak had divorced his wives. So now what is the response? Now, Umar radiallahu anhu was Rajulun Muhdasun, Mulhamun. He was a man that was inspired. He was a man that Shaitan saw, he ran away. Imagine, Shaitan also can run away from him. So what a man he must have been. What a mighty person he must be. Rasulullah was speaking about the interrogation in the grave. But Umar radiallahu anhu says, will we be in the normal frame of our mind? He said, yes, even better. He said, well then we'll overcome that. We'll overcome that hurdle. So in the grave, the Munkar Nakira asking, Mar Rabbuk Oma Deenuk? Who's your Rabb? What's your Deen? So he says, Rabbi Allah wa Deen al-Islam, Omar Rabbukuma, Oma Deenukuma. Can you see the presence of the mind? How composed the man is. He says, my Rabb is Allah Ta'ala, my Deen Islam. But what is your Rabb? Who's your Rabb? And what's your Deen? See the composure. That's the man Umar Adina. Right? That in this world, he's a man, he's a king. In the next world also, he's a king. In this man, he's got that genius ability. In the next world also, he's got the genius ability. Right? There must be a reason why Nabi Sallam is saying, he's a mulham. He's getting inspired from Allah. There must be a reason why he says the shaitan is also runs away. And he's got this news. So how does he respond to the news? Now we won't look at Umar radiallahu anhu. We won't look at Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We look at Einstein and all his shaitans. We look at them. That becomes a leader. In the grave, Allah asks you who you followed and who you're thinking like Abu Bakr and Umar or Einstein and Mr. Kafir. Who are you thinking like? What are you going to say? Well, leave this people. I say, for the sake of Allah, I'll leave this people. Do your talim in the house. What kitabs are recommended? Do that. Do it religiously. After some times, then your mind will change. Because for all the last 30, 40 years, you've been studying in these books here. This news, this nijdia. So your mind's all corroded. Now it's going to take a lot of time for the mind to come right. Because you've been studying this circular media. You've been bombed and attacked with this all the time. So it's not going to be just a day. Half an hour of talim. No, but it's going to take a period of time before you come right. So now look at the response of Umar radiallahu, how he responds to the situation. See. Information. Information. We think now it's a deen got nothing to do with it. But remember, in deen, there's no sharp difference between sacred and circular affairs. Both are the same. For this also you're going to get a reward. For this also you're going to get a reward. For this also you can be punished. For that also you can be punished. It's how you relate to that. How you relate to that situation, that's how you're going to be rewarded. That same business can be your Jannat. And the same business can be your Jahannam. But a man is doing Jannat, and he can be raised with the Siddiqeen, wa Shuhada'i, wa Saliheen. Imagine, he's doing pure business, money. But he can be raised with high-ranking awliya. He can be raised with the Shuhada, with the martyrs, with the Anbiya. Now how do we get that? Did we ever think about it? Did you ever think about it? Look at this video here, what this person said, what that person said. But these basic things that we need to get right, how much of us try to work towards it? It mustn't be by that these people are coming into Islam, they overtake us on the day of Qiyamah. Really, that's the point that we've reached. But I'm seeing new Muslims, and the level of sincerity, the clarity, the cleanliness of the heart, it would seem like they're overtaking us. Really, really. You know, you get shaken up when you see them. 2 weeks ago, One Tamil person came in, right? So he accepted Islam. So there are some other people around. Now the norm is now everybody is curious. What turned you towards Islam? Tamil. You can see from his accent how they speak, you know. I don't want to imitate that now. Ari it. With the ammo on his head. Forget that, right? But what I want to say, look at the cleanliness of this guy's heart. See how good the man is. Tamil, you can see the accent, everything is Christian, but he's a Tamil, right? But look at the cleanliness. You know, I was impressed. There's other, a lot of Muslim people come. But I wasn't impressed with so many people like I was impressed with this person. Because his heart was too good. Not coming from a very refined background, whatever, but his heart that day was too good. Too good, you know. It's not good, too good, excellent. So someone asked him, alright, you know, you accept Islam, curiosity. So no, you know what happened? My son saw some Arabic inscriptions in heaven. That man is telling me, he saw some Arabic inscriptions in heaven, and he accepted Islam. So he related the dream to me. So I was frustrated. You know. See this cleanliness of the heart. That is the important thing. Right? And this dirt and filth will come out in different ways. I'm cutting all these stories here and there. But the important thing is to give an ilaj, to give a treatment, not to make the talk interesting and exciting. So you may not see a consistent pattern, right? But the idea is to give an ilaj. Now, one of the things to get the clarity, remember, I'll come back to the stories, right? Is how do we relate to people? See, you'll have three classes of people. One is your senior. One is the junior, right? So if you respect the junior, you say, so much of tawazu you got. Even your junior is picking them up. Right? And your senior, it is expected that you will respect the senior. So it's not a big deal. The senior, you will respect him, your father, ustad, or your sheikh. That is expected that you will respect the senior. The junior, so if you respect him, you say, hey, what a humble person, look at him. The important thing is, how do you interact and socialize with your contemporary? Person is working around your time, around you. How do you work? Do you make him feel like nothing, like nonsense, like an insignificant thing? Do you make him feel like that in his presence or in his absence? Or do you show him some respect? If you're recognizing him and you show him respect verbally in your behavior, then you say, no, this person is right. But in some words or the other, you can make out by this person wants to push him down. You can make it out. وَلَتَعْرِفَنَّهُمْ فِي لَحْنِ الْقَوْلِ In the accent of the tone and the choice of the words, you can make out, now this person is smashing this person down. You can make it out. It may not sound like ghibat, but you can make it out that what this person is up to. You can make it out. So the actual test is how do you work with your contemporary? How much of love you showing? And I tell the people, by it was a contemporary that you worked with for some time. Right? Now, it mustn't be that our attitudes change towards that person. Because of some type of ulterior motive, now our whole attitude changed towards the person. That means your ikhlas is being challenged. That you were so good with the person, and now why is there a sudden change? Was it on the basis of Islam, Iman, and ikhlas? Or was it on the basis of some ulterior motive that your whole attitude has changed towards him? Now that's the whole test. That your contemporary people around the same time, for the sake of Allah, Ta'ala, go and correct your relationship. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ See the Quran says, come on. Fear Allah Ta'ala and correct your relationship. Correct, improve it. If you know, you understand that you're flawed, you have made a mistake, then correct it, rectify it. Whatever it takes to rectify it, rectify it. Give a present, talk about good about him, make dua for the person, but whichever way. You know, I was explaining this in the masjid, that in Islam, love, kindness is the rule. Anger is an exception to the rule. But we make anger, etc., the rule, and love, by the way, kindness, by the way, we're going in reverse. Like I was explaining at the beginning, we're moving in reverse. In every situation, physically, verbally, in our behavior, we need to show love, we need to show kindness. And this hadith that is replete with all this. Just verbal, verbal. So, how much of hadith? You meet the person, say, Assalamu alaikum. Right? Then, Inna Allah la yu'ti bil rifq ma la yu'ti bil unf. You talk to the person, talk to him nicely. Because Allah will give you much more when you talk nicely. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Speak to him nicely. Even though he's whatever, the hadith is talking about a Jew that is slandering. But Rasulullah says, is advising Hazrat Aisha that la yu'ti bil rifq ma la yu'ti bil unf. Allah will give much more when you speak with kindness, even though that person is speaking impolite, aggression, but you speak right. Now when it's an enemy, you speak so nice, be so nice, then how much more with a contemporary that was friendly with you, now because of some reason or the other, now your whole attitude has changed towards the person. Is that right? I ask you, is it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, or is it ulterior motives that you want to smash the person down? See what happens? See, there's a fight that's going on within. The nafs and the ruh is moving on. The fight. So we're looking at everybody, every other person's fight, but our own fight we're not looking at. So until we don't get that right, you don't get the shape of the heart. You don't get the cleanliness of the heart. إِلَّا مُنَتَ اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. You can't get it right. So get that right. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. Get your mutual relationship right. And I say, make dua for the person, think good of him, talk good of him, in his presence, in his absence. That's what we are here for. Islam is talking so much about mutual relationship of love, of kindness, of politeness. How much Islam is talking about? To be talking of this Tamil person. Really, it was someone that impressed me. Allah Bak, forgive me for teasing the person. I just abused myself. Allah Bak, forgive me, right? But really, his heart was true. Very good. If I saw someone, he must not be making a lot of zikr all that, but his heart was true. So, I wanted to know why the man came to see me. So, anyway, the conversation carried on. I can't push him too much, because he's talking, crying, all that. Emotions are high with him. So then he says, you know what, I made dua to Allah Ta'ala. But he saw now his son became a Muslim. See, oh God now, he's talking, he's a Christian now. Oh God, if Islam is true, then cripple me. And true, by that night he was crippled. Then again, obviously, he asked for that dua to be reversed. So that it came right again. That night he was crippled. He accepted Islam, and he asked the dua to be reversed. Right. Everything worked out. Then he says, no, then I start going to mosque and all the masjid and all that. And then the Imam Sahib is speaking about the importance of the Jummah. And you don't read Jummah namaz, then you're not a Muslim. Now I'm thinking to myself now, you know, what do I do? Because I'm in a government employee, I can't just give up the job. I can't just go for Jummah now. I'll lose my job just now. So I asked for an early retirement. They gave me my retirement. I'm interested that the story is going, becoming more and more interesting. So when I got my retirement now, this man is strong. See the goodness, the cleanliness of this man's heart. So he says, then I began to hear now, I want to know now, this. I got this, whatever, couple of millions I got now. If I want to spend it, I need to look after a family that is going to get wiped out. In a few years, it's going to get wiped out. How am I going to sustain my family and myself? So I thought, now let me go for an Islamic investment or something. So there was a woman that I knew that did some Islamic finance. She learned Islamic finance. So I went to consult with her. Said, you know, I got some money now. Where do I invest Islamic whatever? So that woman advised him, but don't go for this because there's a lot of fly-by-night. We know people that are in the finance, they know about it. So then the next question will be, obviously, what about Islamic banks? So now she studied it very well. When she studied very well, it's got a very glossy picture. But it's not like how you see it. That's the answer, right? It's got a very glossy picture, but it's not like how you see it from the outside. Now in the frustration, he says, now I don't know what to do with the money I put in APSA. And I'm living out of this APSA, the interest. Maulana is saying it's absolutely haram. Now he's taking Maulana word for word. He's taking it very seriously. Not like us. See, alright, Maulana to baat karte rahe. They always want to shout us, right? How we listen. Now he's taking it different. He says, oh, why say what is right? What he's saying is right, 100%. Interest is haram, such a big guna, it's a lanet, it's a curse. What do I do? Now, to that point. I came to that point. You see the cleanliness of the man's heart. I tell you, really, he was very clean. I just loved him. I don't know for what. No features, nothing. But I just loved him. Why? See that the cleanliness, when it's clean, that it just affects you. You see, then I just went to put the money there. I'm eating haram. What must I do? So really, he jammed me up because I didn't have an answer straight for him. But in a moment, Allah gave me the answer. So I told him, see, Abu Zughanuddin have advised, there's two categories of sins. Right? One is a sin that if you leave out, you won't suffer. Like ghibat, you left it out, will you suffer? You're not going to suffer, right? You're viewing the wrong things, if you leave it out, will you suffer? No suffering. Right? You're speaking lies, etc. Right? You're going to leave it out, and you're going to suffer? No suffer. So that guna, you leave it out. And the other type of guna is that you fear that you will have some constraints, financial constraints, etc. And many of us can't just leave it out straight away. Many of us can't just leave it straight away. So then what do you do? Our elders show 3 points. You believe the haram is haram. Don't you ever justify. Haram is haram. I mean financing whichever way is haram. Right? So I believe the haram is haram. You know, when there's a hifz jalsa, they will talk about the parent of that hafiz will be crowned. But the precondition is provided he believes the halal to be halal and the haram to be haram. He doesn't justify and appease his conscience. So believe the haram to be haram. From within your heart, this is haram. Number two, is second point is, then you, with all your heart, all your sincerity, you ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. With all your heart, with all your sincerity, you ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Right? And number three is then you try your best to look for a pure halal alternative. So now he's asking me now, what will happen then? So I told him then, if you're going to strive sincerely, Allah Pak will help you. Even if you die in the process, Allah Pak will look at you pretty favorably because you were trying to look for the halal and you didn't justify the wrong. One is, you know, you came late to the work, so the boss asks you, why you came late? Say, boss, you also come late, you're justifying the wrong. So you're showing an attitude to the boss, what happens? You're showing an attitude to Allah Ta'ala, what happens? So you're not justifying, the haram is haram. And I'm sincerely remorseful that I'm messing it up, Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me. But simultaneously, he's looking for something halal. So he's asking me, what happens? Allah Ta'ala will look at it favorably. How are you saying that? So I explained to him, see, you know that story, you heard that Mawlana gave me that story, he took the Mawlana's name, that man was, he killed 100 persons, and he was supposed to go into the village of the pious. Did he reach up this? No, he didn't reach up. Yeah, Mawlana, you know that that whole earth crumpled for him, that's the word he used. We say shrunk, right? Yeah, the same story. But he reached, so he didn't reach. But how did Allah look at him? He looked at him favorably, why? Because he tried his best, he admitted the wrong, I am wrong. He asked Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. And he tried to come to the right. When he tried to come to the right, Allah Pak looked at him favorably. Now he got so excited. He said, MashaAllah, I'm trying. I'll try my best. Even if I die, I'll die trying. But I will not justify the wrong. I will be remorseful of the wrong that I'm doing. But can you doubt the goodness of the person's heart? So when I saw him, I thought of the hadith. La yanzuru ila suwarikum. Wala ila alwanikum. Allah Pak doesn't look at your color. He doesn't look at your appearance. Yanzuru ila kulubikum. He looks at your heart. How good that heart is. Amalikum. He looks at your behavior. How good your behavior is. That was humble. Humble, straightforward, clear. If he did interest, he told me he did interest. So, you know, he's not taking me in circles, not taking me in a checker. He's telling me straight. So I felt so good about the person. Allah Pak bless him. Wherever he is, Allah Pak bless him. See, this is what Allah Pak looks at. So we are talking about Umar radiallahu anhu, and I didn't complete that story then. So Umar radiallahu anhu goes to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he says to Rasulullah, this is what happened. This news is coming out. Is there any substance in this? Rasulullah explains to him that he's false. Now he comes to the masjid and he sees a whole crowd of people, and they're worried. Everybody's concerned now. Hey, what's happening? So he makes an announcement that this is a false rumor. Don't speak about it. See that? See, he's showing us through his action what's the procedure of information. And now you think for yourselves that just before the announcement, what type of hysteria it must have caused in the hearts of the Sahaba Ikram that we're discussing. Umar radiallahu anhu made this announcement, what type of a relief it was. See that information, and what a relief it was. How happy the Sahaba Ikram didn't get. How much of relief did it bring about? See now, do we think like that? We don't think like that because of several reasons. One is we are Muslim minority. Then we are all swarmed with this type of information. Wrong, right, everything is coming in all at the same time. Listening to that news and this Islam news and that news. And every news is coming in. We don't know what to believe, what not to believe. Right? Now, there are some procedures, right? There are some ways. There are some etiquettes about news. Do we go and find out? Do we take the time? That thing that is shaping our mind, shaping our behavior, shaping our whole action. Do we try and find out now how does it work? How do we rectify ourselves? Allah Baktufi.